turns on plus it's record. Okay. All right, let us stand to our feet and join together in our proclamation of why we are here. Let us to read together. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule,
and will come again as final judge to rule. Amen. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Together. This is how I fight my battles. Not with weapons of mass destruction. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. Time for our responsive reading. Deacon is coming.
All right, good morning, everyone. Responsive reading, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, starting to read as follows. But there'll be no darkness for those who were in trouble. Earlier he did bring the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali into dispute. But the time is coming when he'll make the whole area glorious and the road along the sea. The country past the Jordan, international Galilee.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. You have repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they're so glad in your presence. Festival joy, the joy of a great celebration. Sharing rich gifts and warm greetings.
The abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants. All their whips and clubs and curses is gone, done away with. A deliverance is surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned, a fire that will burn for days.
For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His name will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings.
Together,
he'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this.
Dear Father God, thank you for this day, for not just myself, but all my brothers and sisters here and the ones all over. Lord, we ask that you continue working with us individually and collectively. May what we do and say be something that would be advantageous to you by helping some other brother or sister learn about you, deal with you, or be able to know about you. Yes. Lord, we ask that you continue to feed us with the people that you put before us to give us the nourishment that we need to be able to live your word independently and collectively. Let us all get what you have to give us. Let us all be given what you have for us to receive. Excuse me, my mistake. I'm moving too fast. I apologize. Let us all receive what it is you have to give us. And may the person who bring it to us today be fed with your words to feed us, and we be able to go on and do something that will be advantageous to you at all times. Well, we ask these and all other blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things we come together to do is to praise him. Amen. The Bible tells us that everything that happens, what? Breath. Do what? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. If you got breath in your lungs, you need to do what? Is he worthy to be praised? How much praise should he get?
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Of every praise. It is time for announcements. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Crystal.
Thank you. So I have a card to read, and it says, kindness is more than the nice things you do. It's who you are through and through. Thanks so much for your thoughtfulness, and thanks for being you. And this is from Deaconess Lisa and her family, and it says, we love you so much, and there's like hearts and stuff in here. So we know she lost her niece and everything, so keep the family in prayer, but that was the thank you part. So, as far as announcements go, today, Pastor Jonathan Tate is bringing the word to us. On Monday, tomorrow, 6 o'clock, we have our new Bible class entitled Biblical Giving. It is taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. If you need a book, go to the church website, rfcm.org. Or go to Pastor GMO's website, pastorgmo.com. Pastor sent out the questions for the whole lesson a few weeks ago, but chapter 2 is on that back table, right, Pastor O? Okay, so if you need questions for tomorrow's class, they are on the back table, and they have been emailed out as well, and they're on our church website.
This week's lesson, giving from Adam to Abraham. Amen. Every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday, 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. I believe this is the last lesson in that book as well. Pastor O, maybe. Is that the last lesson in that book, Pastor O?
What?
Is that the last lesson in the Wednesday class? Is this lesson this week the last one in the book?
Yes, and then we're going to December.
Okay, all right. So that's the last one. So you still obviously are going to need a book for the classes that are to come. So get with Pastor O on that. Pastor Sarah?
There's three here.
Okay, there's three back there. If you need them, take them. So Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon is going to be teaching this week to live is Christ. So your questions are at the end of the chapter. So again, that's Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. on Blog Talk. Deaconess Kathy is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Minister Shelley has a Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love, and that happens on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources to get the phone number for Minister Lachelle's Street Love Blog Talk Show. So on Thursday, December 21st at 12 o'clock p.m., Pastor O will be presenting the annual storytelling of Christmas on Blog Talk Radio along with some good old Christmas music. So make sure to tune in. He's going to tell you why you can put a tree up, why you can give gifts, why we put things in stockings, and why it's okay to celebrate Christmas, and why you can do all of these things. So don't let anyone tell you that you can't, because you can. And then if you tune in, Pastor O is going to tell you why. Amen. So please remember that all of our classes and our services on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Resources, jobs, books, all of our services, over 1,800 of everything that we've done on Blog Talk Radio is on there. So I always say you can get your whole Christian life together if you just go all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor O on there by himself. And then you can come all the way up to where you hear multiple people in a service. Amen. So let's see. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings, go to the church website, rfcm.org. It is First Sunday today, so we will be having communion. So there's no altar call, but we've got Doris and Nakia. Nope, there's a prayer list. Never mind. All right, so the prayer list is up there, but there's no official altar call because today's Communion Sunday. Boom, there we go. Oliver is not on that list, but is he in the list? Okay, let me move on to the next. Oliver got on there, but okay, whatever. the holidays are here. We need to take the time to stop and think about what others are going through during this time of year. Okay, some are missing friends and loved ones. Some are lonely and alone. Some have no hope, suffering from depression, mental illnesses. We need to be kind, caring, and courteous to everyone, but most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. John chapter 15, verse 12 says to love one another as I have loved you. And so remember to treat others not how they treat you, but how you want to be treated. Amen. Amen. So keep all those who are bereaved and mourning in your prayers. Birthdays for this month. Carmen celebrates her birthday on the 8th. Reverend Joseph Stevens celebrates his birthday on the 9th. John celebrates his birthday on the 15th. And Anita celebrates her birthday on the 31st. All right. And so your devotional for today is entitled Spiritual Growth Requires Change. All right. God's purpose in every change in your life is to make you more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. God's purpose in every change in your life is to make you more like Jesus. The promise of Romans chapter 8, 28 is wonderful. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called, according to his purpose for them. But it doesn't make sense until you read the next verse. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son.
Amen.
That's Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. God doesn't just want you in his family. He also wants you to develop the family characteristics of a child of God.
Yes.
He wants you to grow spiritually. And your model for maturity is Jesus Christ. So what is Jesus like? The best picture of Jesus' character is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God produces that kind of fruit in you by putting you in situations full of the exact opposite circumstances where you get a chance to learn and practice these character qualities. You don't learn kindness when you're around the nicest people. You don't learn contentment when you have everything you want. So when God teaches you how to love, he doesn't put you around people who are easy to love. He puts you around unlovable people. Anybody can be happy when everything's going their way. But God teaches you true joy in the middle of suffering and grief and heartbreak. It's easy to be peaceful there when there is no struggle in your life. When God teaches you peace, he'll allow chaos and conflict in your life to teach you the peace that passes understanding. How does God teach you patience? By placing you in long line at the Department of Motor Vehicles or at a delayed doctor appointment. Anytime you have to wait, God is teaching you patience to make you more like Jesus. Change is not always easy, but the big and small ways you're growing in spiritual maturity will make it worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, as we're preparing, it is offering time, so you get your envelopes together, and during this next selection, deacons will be coming and passing the basket amongst you. So let's stand to our feet. It's that time of year, y'all. We can sing Christmas songs all year, but it's just special when we sing them during Christmas. Amen. O come, let us adore him. It is now time to do one of the two things that the church has been commanded to do. One of them is what?
Fellowship.
Starts with a B. Baptism. Oh, y'all, okay, y'all, maybe y'all a little rusty, I know. Baptism. To acknowledge that you believe in the one who went into the grave and was raised up. And then the other one is communion. Well, we remember why he came, why he went into the grave. And then we celebrate the fact that he got up. He didn't do it because he was lonely. He didn't do it because he was a sinner. He did it because we needed a savior. We needed a healer. We needed a deliverer. And we needed somebody who could do something about everything that we can do nothing about. And that him is Jesus. So when the folks used to get together in the early church and they'd have dinner with the family, somebody would say, remember when Jesus' body was broken and beaten and took all that the empire could throw at him? He did that for us. Take and eat. And then remember that it was his blood, not of an animal, but his blood that God accepted as the perfect sacrifice for the remission of our sin. Take and drink. And all God's people say,
amen.
You may be seated.
Shine through the shadows. Burn.
Excuse my voice. It's basketball season. My son is performing well. And that usually requires me to shout and cut up. So, plus it's his senior year, so we got to go out with a bang. So bear with me. I'm going to speak into the mic and slowly and take my time so I don't lose what I have left. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for an awesome praise experience. Lord, if we don't remember anything else, help us to lift up your name, to shout your name, Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Intercessor, our Friend. We thank you, Lord, for your word today, that you would walk us through it. Move me out of the way. Help me to be a vessel. Calm down the butterflies. and help me to focus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The word that the Lord provided is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And I will be reading out of the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And in my Bible it says, a good servant of Christ Jesus. So if you're confused about your job title or its description, a good servant of Christ Jesus. See, Jesus provided the perfect example of how we're supposed to serve, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to have our being. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 reading, it says, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look back at verse 6. Well, just a background. 1 Timothy is a letter that was written by Paul to the church of Ephesus. So when you see the book of Ephesians, that's what people from Ephesus were called, Ephesians. And during that time, a lot of leaders rose up, some old, some young, even men and women, but they were teaching basically horrible things. So you know how we do in the church and in the world. We take something and we twist it to our liking. And that's what they were doing. So the elders in that day, they were teaching that it was wrong, for example, to eat meat. It was wrong to be married. See how all of that, those two things don't make any sense whatsoever. But they had a following, because Ephesus wasn't a small place. It was a large place. But they were steeped, and I mentioned it yesterday, in idolatry. So if they wanted to worship the microphone, that was the god of the day. If they wanted to worship a gold ring, that was their god for the day. And they worshiped it. I mean, praised, worship, everything. As the one living true God, that's what they did. So, you know, church was basically like a fiasco. You know, if you were rich, you got most of the attention at that time. And what would happen in that time also, because I know you hear in these churches, again, twisted, because a lot of people don't dig into the context of the scriptures and the time. So I know you've heard that women are supposed to teach or speak in church or lead. What Paul was saying right there in that scripture was women of influence, women that were rich, they were coming in, and because of their money and their influence, they would talk to the people and continue to teach these twisted values. You shouldn't eat meat. You shouldn't get married. You shouldn't stay married. You need to devote yourself to this and devote yourself to that. And we're still dealing with the remnants of that, believe it or not, in the church today. And the reality is that's why we're compared to sheep. And we need a shepherd. Sheep are not the smartest animals on the planet. If one sheep walks off a cliff, other sheep will follow it, thinking that's the thing to do. And that's why sheep need a shepherd. So back then, when this letter was written, like I said, it says a good servant of Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to Timothy and to the church at Ephesus, but in this particular passage, he's encouraging Timothy because Timothy is a young man who decided to serve Jesus. So Paul kind of took him up under his wing to mentor him and to encourage him so that when Paul may have been locked up or beat up or someplace other than where Timothy was, he could send Timothy to go, you know, like his associate or assistant. Amen? Amen. So verse 6 says, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Brothers and sisters, that's our job as well. It's not just the Timothy. You can put your own name in this verse and say, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Nicole, Crystal, Vitrius, Leitrius, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished. And nourished in the Greek is entrepho, and it means to nourish in. And what when you nourish, when you receive nourishment, you receive the necessary substance to carry out anything. That's why we eat food. And you hear some people say when they say in grace, let this be of nourishment to my body. Let it provide the substance that I need to carry out the mission. Our mission is to point people back to Jesus. So it's not when you read the Bible, take it personally. Understand the context because you have to go backwards to get the foundation so that you can move forward and understand the audience in this particular scripture. And I will tell you one wonderful resource that Janice gave us in class. It's called the Bible Project. Now, I'm looking around the room, and I know a lot of us used to watch Saturday morning cartoons, eat cereal, and do your chores, you know, whatever, not in that order, because some chores had to get taken care of first. But it's literally on Bible Project on YouTube. You can pull up 1 Timothy, and it'll show you literally an illustration, and it'll explain in detail in a summary of that book. And it's an app, and it's all kinds of stuff. Can I be honest? With all the resources and the technology that we have no excuse why we can't study the Word. It is so easy to study the Word. But it's about your love language with the Lord. He reacts off of your actions. Does God do what he needs to do? It's already done. All his work is complete. He's trying to see what you're going to do in response to what the Word says and what he's already done for you. Think about that. And you'll be nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. So what we get from the Word, what we get from, because the Word is the root of our teaching, it should be. You shouldn't just be following any and everybody. You should be able to search in the Word what someone is saying and match them up to see if what they're saying is true or false. Again, these were false prophets that were in the synagogues telling people, hey, you can't eat meat. Hey, you shouldn't get married. That's all twisted. That's not what the Word says. further along, everything is good to eat. So you can follow your nose at that cat from the south that eats raccoon. The Lord said it's good. I've eaten raccoon. It's pretty good. If it's cooked right. You know, Marissa will tell you she used to eat chicken feet. But her daddy. Hey, whatever. Hey, with hot sauce. You know, hot sauce make everything taste good. All right, y'all pay attention, huh? It says, by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed, that's how you receive your nourishment, the substance that you need to carry out the mission. Verse 7 says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. How many times have I know myself, and I'm sure y'all, get into these unnecessary wasting of oxygen arguments and debates that have nothing to do with nothing. If I ain't learned nothing else in my life, one, I'm not gonna waste my oxygen because it's precious to me. Two, no matter what I say, you're gonna walk away with how you feel and what you think. That's just the reality. And I had to get that from the Lord, because over time he had to show me, you're wasting your time, stop talking, be quiet. The Lord has told me that in my life. I don't know about y'all, y'all probably better than me. So he said, don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Back then, they were Gnostic in nature, mystical, had nothing to do with God at all. Old wives' tales. Just something as stupid as don't wear white after Labor Day. What does that have to do with anything? What if your right hand itches, you about to get some money. No, you put some lotion on, wash your hand. Old wives tales though, and people will do that. Don't deal with that broke, you broke a mirror, you're gonna have 7 years bad luck. Show me in the word where it says that. I'll wait. But it says, instead, train yourself to be godly. We have the example of how to live in Christ Jesus. If we are to be good servants of Christ Jesus, and we're sheep, we don't have to think. Just follow the shepherd. We're not the smartest. We're not the brightest light bulbs, if we're being honest. I have degrees, yes. That means I completed the training in the school and forum. But it doesn't make me smart. I have to look to the Lord for everything. Something as simple as him saying to me, John, your voice is bold. Stop by Walmart and get some honey. And then having friends and extended family to say, put a cough drop in that tea. Because sometimes we don't get it directly from him, so he had to send folks. And I'm thankful for that. That's why Timothy was there to say, hey, this time out, what you're talking about, that's wrong. And folks are following you, and you teaching them to be wrong. Verse 8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Physical training is only good for your physical earthly body, which deteriorates every single day. Am I telling you not to exercise? Not at all. We need it. A body needs to move. Body needs exercise. I don't care if you're just walking up and down the stairs, around the house. Physical training, it says it's good. I didn't make that up. I didn't write it. But training for godliness is much better. And see, godliness is the quality of practice of conforming to the laws and wishes of God. Godliness is the quality or practice of conforming to the laws and wishes of God. Again, we don't have to figure it out. Just conform. Just react. Just do. Just execute. The word literally will address everything and every aspect of your life if you let it. If you embrace it. We don't have it all figured out. We twist stuff just like the Ephesians twist stuff. We do. Well, my mama said this, grandmama said that. Your mama was human and your grandma was human. And God made them and blessed you with them. So why not go to the source of your power, who sustains your life, who instructs you on what to do in every situation. Amen? And it says, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So we get to hook up now and later, just trying to follow God's lead, conforming to his laws and his wishes. One thing I'm realizing as I get older is things are changing. My mind, body, soul, things are changing, they're turning over. The way stuff that used to keep me up at night in my 20s, I could care less about now. I'm doing good getting out the bed, stretching, not feeling the new pain, not arguing with folks over foolishness, saying, Lord, what should I do in this situation? And there are times, I ain't ashamed to say it, I'm in therapy. And the reason why I went to therapy is because I was experiencing mood swings related to grief. Because I went to 7 funerals in 7 months. I take that back, 6, because my father was gone 2 weeks when I found out he was dead. So I didn't make his. But 7 people, 7 months, 7 people that I was close to. And mood swings going, you know, just not feeling centered. And I thank the Lord for sending me in that direction because I've learned so much about processing my thoughts and my feelings. Because a lot of times what we think or what we feel is not real. It's only real to us. But we have to line it up to what the Lord says about a thing so that we can get our answers, our solutions. So we have promising benefits in this life and in the life to come, doing it his way and conforming to his laws, what he says, and it's all in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 9 goes on to say, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Really can't add nothing to it. Crystal just said it. It said what it said. It is what it is. This is a trustworthy. You can bank on this. You can believe in this. And everyone should accept it. Verse 10. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. You know, I've been telling my sons for years that you can't escape hard work. When you work in your passion, when you work in things that you have to do to get through school, whatever it is, you can't escape hard work. But there's nothing more fulfilling than doing the work of the Lord. Nothing more fulfilling than that. Or just simply just doing something that he told you to do. Or saying something that he told you to say. Janice said something during Sunday school, and it struck a nerve in me. She said, we need to see the humanity in people. And she was using the example of people that you see standing out with signs asking for money or food. And a lot of times we drive by because we come up with ideas and excuses, and we don't see the humanity in those people. See, when you work hard at what the Lord tells you to do, understand this. The work has already been done. The field has already been plowed. The Lord wants you to come, drop some seeds, and keep going. The easiest thing in cultivating crops, one of the easiest things, is to put the seed in the dirt and keep going. We don't even have to hard work because he took care of it. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they worked it all out to our advantage. So this is why we work hard and continue to struggle, even though we got the easy part. Ain't God good? For our hope is in the living God. That's who we hope in. It shouldn't be in money. It shouldn't be in your job, or your grandmama, your mama. Your people gonna leave. You gonna leave. Your jobs come and go. Money comes and goes. And if you don't believe me, you have kids. I'd be like, man, I just had $40. And they just skipping down the road like, I don't know what you're doing. You got a full tank of gas. Or oil change. $82. Man, I don't want money back. You better do good in life. Because I'm going to ask. I want my own debit card from your account. Just some of my hook. But y'all focus now. Who is the Savior of all people and particularly all believers? The Lord has us covered. We're saved. The least we can do is put some work in for him. You know what I found frightening? There's almost a little over, the world's population is a little over 8 billion. Can anybody guess what percentage of people is saved? Bam. 31.6% of the world's population professes to be Christians. Now, I got some teachers in the house. They will tell you that 31% is failing in any class, even gym. That's the easiest class on the planet. Stop and think about that for a second. A little over 8 billion people. 31.6% of the earth's population professes to be Christians. And we sitting up here building churches and worrying about what we're going to wear on Easter, and we're failing. We're failing. 31%. And we got all this technology. We can FaceTime somebody in China and tell them about Jesus in seconds. I thank the Lord for Blog Talk Radio because the tentacles reach all around the world. But as small as this church is, we're reaching around the world. But I've seen pastors stand up in pulpits of arena-sized churches. And we got 31.6% of the population of the world saved. I'm going to keep moving. Verse 11 says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. If we trying to be good servants of Christ, we got to teach. You don't have to stand up in front of a class to be a teacher. Most of my teaching experience has been with talking to kids or talking to adults, just in basic conversation. And it says, insist that everyone learn them. I don't know about you, but I realize one thing. The clock is ticking. Every time I go to pull up an article to read, it's a new disaster or something crazy going on in the world. volcano erupting in Iceland. People complaining about the weather, and I'm like, do you realize it was 50 degrees in November? When I was growing up, because I remember the day after Thanksgiving, Marsha wanted some Christmas lights up on her house. Me and my brother would be out there freezing with that staple gun. And he halfway paying attention, holding the ladder, and I'm up top about to kill myself because he ain't paying attention. Freezing the day after November. I mean, the day after Thanksgiving. I'm comfortable being outside with no hat and no coat on right now. And it's December. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. We running out of time, brothers and sisters. We so busy worried about what's on the Christmas list and don't even know if you're gonna make it to Christmas. I don't care less about Christmas. I mean, I'm thankful to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but I'm not about to get out here and rip and run and try to buy no bunch of gifts. One, I ain't got it. So Merry Christmas. I'm telling y'all that right now. Whatever extras I got, y'all call Jonathan Tate and Braylon Wilson. Because they got it. They got it pre-taxed for my brothers that pay child support. It come off the top before Uncle Sam get in. All right, y'all focus now. 12 says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Kids can be excellent witnesses. You don't have to be seasoned in this life to be a good example. But what it says is be an example to all believers. Because again, at that time, they were twisting the word. People believed in Jesus, but it was that day-to-day stuff about the meat and the marriages and stuff like that that people get in their minds. And you got pastors and churches that do the same thing. Women shouldn't be wearing pants up in here. Where is that in the Bible?
Come on.
I'll wait. Old wives' tales that have nothing to do with the word.
Amen.
It's tradition.
Yeah.
That's why we got 9,000 denominations. Because folks come up in their mind what the word says, and it ain't the word. It's you. But it says, be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Somebody's always watching you, and it ain't just kids. That's the reality. The reality is we need to watch what we say. I work on that. I work in the Department of Corrections. Sometimes people don't understand plain English, so I have to give some French with it. Hey, pray for me. But you know what happened when I put the French in it? Oh, okay, Mr. Tate, you're right. Well, I got to talk to you like that. And in the way you live, again, somebody's always watching you, no matter what. I had a friend of mine say that they walked into Tim Hortons and just spoke. Next thing you know, it's a 2.5-hour conversation. Just in the way they move. Just in the way they say good morning. It's okay for us to engage with one another. Some of the people that you wouldn't think would talk to me might be out of their mind on dope, high, killers, whatever. They're sitting and have a conversation. Sometimes it's just you smiling at somebody can make their day and welcome them into the fold as a brother or sister of Christ. It could be somebody that's been saved, but they just lost their way. just smile and say good morning. So when I see people and the Lord put on my heart, because every situation ain't a good situation to have somebody some money, they got to sign up or some food. I run it by the Lord real quick. What you want me to do? He'd be like, go and give him a few dollars. And when I'm handing it to him, I say, God bless you. And you know what happens 9 times out of 10? They say it in return. Because you know what? At one point in time, that could have been me. If that ain't Jesus, you can't answer. Lo. Or Oliver, I'll say that. God be Oliver.
No, nowhere
I'm at. Okay. So, and then it says, in your love. We struggle with that one because we love who we love and we like who we like. But we have to love, we're commanded to love one another. It didn't say in the word, love the people you like or love the people you love. Love the people that's good to you. The reality is, even for myself, if I didn't love my father, we wouldn't have had a relationship before he passed away. I took the initiative because the Lord kept at me about it. Hey, do this, do this, do this. And once I hit my final straw, I wrote him a letter and I dropped it in his mailbox. He went to my aunt's house and gave her his phone number for me. And it worked. And then 2 years later, he was gone. And our love, your faith, and your purity. I ain't gonna touch purity because we ain't got a lot of time. Y'all know what it means. Got 4 minutes left, about to get on to the end. But your faith. We have to believe what the Lord says in his word. And if you don't believe the word, brothers and sisters, just look around at your life. Think about the things that he's brought you through. I laughed the other day because I thought about when Nicole called me weeping wonder. Because I'll be coming up here crying and snotting. And it's because I'll be thinking about what the Lord has done for me. See, if y'all watch Good Times, y'all know who Weeping Wonder was. She was always showing up people's funerals. Weeping pastors crying. See, I ain't that sensitive. I can laugh at myself and others. My, you know, Grand Rapids sister. But we have to walk this thing out as good servants of Christ Jesus. Let me turn your attention real quick to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter 1. 15 and 16. It says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. What does holy mean? A sanctified. We have to be completely devoted to God. And what we do, how we live, how we move. That's one definition that I found in my research. Everybody in the house saved?
Yes.
If you're not sure that you're saved, I'll be in the back. Because your heart can stop at any moment. And you can go on to glory or Hades, which is the waiting place for those on their way to hell. It's a reality. I don't care what nobody say. I know what I read in the Bible. I know what I've heard. I know what I've seen. You might be able to trick my ears. It's hard to trick these eyes, especially with my glasses on. We need to be good servants of Christ. Time ain't long. I say it all the time. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us and walking out your word. But Lord, help us to truly realize that we got the easy part. Even though we may think it's hard or we struggle sometimes, you're faithful and just to forgive us through our foolishness and to love us despite us. But help us to be good servants of Christ Jesus as the clock ticks down and as things change and you get closer and closer to your return. We thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be holy. Help us to love one another and to see the humanity in one another so that we can love unconditionally. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
John's for that word the Lord gave him to give us. And you know, whenever pastor doesn't preach, be in accordance with God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14 says that God commanded that those who preach the word also earn their living from the word. So to be in accordance with God's word, we're going to take up a love offering for our preacher today.
While our next praise team is coming, remember all of the announcements. Remember to check the website. Remember each other. And during this season of where excess and eccentricity will exist, don't forget, like he said, humanity. There are a lot of people out there that have needs. Yeah, we got wants, but there are a lot of people that don't have their basic needs being met, and God is the one who says everybody's needs are supposed to be met. So in your giving, make sure you don't, if you see somebody with a need, meet it. If God has provided, meet it. If you've been paying attention in Saturday school class, we know that authentic Christians tell the truth about Jesus, but what else do? They love their... So that's how we'll know. That's how we declare his name as you're standing to your feet. Because boss is ready. I'm going to hand the mic over to him. All right. G is coming now. Uh-oh, it's on now. We don't have G in it again. Lorenzo gonna lead the dance squad pretty soon because he be in the aisles dancing. We gonna have full service with young people leading the way. I love it.
Love him, let his
receive our benediction.
Them babies sound good, don't they? Give them another hand. All right. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Like, it's